Fantastic job, guys. That was beautiful. Appreciate the orchestra. Thankful to have the orchestra this morning. Amen. Let's try that again. Thankful to have the orchestra this morning. Amen. All right. Amen. Absolutely. Let's thank the Lord for that. We were blessed with a tremendous music program here at church, and really, really is great. One of the things about having a tremendous music program is no matter how bad the sermon is, you at least have good music. Amen. So open your Bibles, please, just kidding, to the book of Luke, chapter 11. The book of Luke, chapter 11. Last week, I introduced a new theme for the year of 2018. And basically, it is indeed, each one reach one. And our prayer to God is that the Lord will allow us to make a difference for His kingdom as individuals. And in doing so as individuals, it will then be a blessing to the local assembly, the Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church. And in the context of that, we said to you last week that in order for us to each one reach one, number one, we got to love Jesus. We got to love Him with all of our heart. I mean, He's the one, if you're born again, He is the one that changed your life. He's the one that, you know, intersected your life's journey, and God, through His grace and mercy, through the gospel, saved your soul from hell. And, you know, understanding that you indeed were an enemy of God. Literally, the Bible told us that the wrath of God abideth over us, and yet through Christ, through His death, burial, and resurrection, we were forgiven of our sin when we repented and believed that gospel message. So we thank God for that. So in order for us to make a difference for God's kingdom, we have to truly love Christ. But second of all, I said to you last week that we got to love people. You know, God loves people, friend, more than anything. And you and I that have a relationship with Jesus, we have to love people. You may say, well, Pastor, I'm just not the loving type. Well, repent of that. Literally, repent of that and allow God to change your life. You say, Preacher, really? Yes, think with me for a moment. There was a man in the New Testament by the name of John. There was a time in his life, and I've shared this with you on many occasions, he was not a loving individual. Matter of fact, there was one instance, he was one of the apostles, and there was one instance where they're going through Jesus, and they were going to a Samaritan village, and John and another disciple literally asked Jesus if he wanted them to call fire down from heaven and wipe them out. But God loves people more than anything. Jesus Christ loves people more than anything. And of course, Jesus intersected that, said absolutely not. And long story short, that same disciple that wanted to call fire down from heaven was also the same disciple that would sit at the feet of Jesus, and he would learn and he would watch as Jesus Christ would demonstrate His love. He would manifest His love for humanity often on a daily basis. And as John began to see that, John's life has absolutely changed. And he would go on later to become the apostle whom Jesus loved, the very loving individual who would write the Gospel of John, but also 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. 1st John is a phenomenal portion of Scripture that really encompasses the love of God. It encompasses what it means to love God and God to love us and us to love people. See, Jesus can change your life. Jesus can absolutely revolutionize your heart and your mind. And, you know, I prayed for someone last night as I was falling asleep that God would renew his mind and that the Lord would move in his life. Because I truly believe, ladies and gentlemen, knowing Jesus Christ, our Savior, he would much rather, if we're out of fellowship with him, he would much rather forgive and restore than to bring chastisement. He's a great God. So we love Jesus. We have to love people. But lastly, we got to start looking for people. And as we're going to talk about this morning, and we're going to talk about the subject matter of prayer, and we're going to look at one verse of Scripture this morning. It's very, very powerful verse because literally what it does, it's the Lord's disciples here, and they have a question. And in the context of this, they make a statement to Jesus. So in Luke chapter 11, verse 1, please stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's holy word. Luke chapter 11 and verse 1. If you found it, say, I found it. All right, look at chapter 11, verse 1 of Luke. And it came to pass that as he, this is Jesus, was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. Let's pray, folks. Father, again, we thank you for your word. We thank you, God, for your Holy Spirit. God, we thank you for the privilege that we have as your people to come before your throne in prayer. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for Jesus, that he is our intercessor. He is our go-between. And God, he ever liveth to make intercession for us as his children. So, Father, we ask your blessings on the service, for it's in Jesus' name I pray, and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Lord, teach us to pray. You know, it's interesting when you think about that for a moment and you chew on that thought for just a moment. If you would have been able to ask Jesus anything, I mean, if you can think with me just for just a brief moment of these disciples, and all the questions that they, of all the questions that they could ask Jesus, they didn't ask him, Lord, teach us to preach better. They didn't even ask God, you know, teach us to be better witnesses. They didn't ask us, Lord Jesus, teach us to win the masses. They simply said, Lord, teach us to pray. Now, why would they say that? Why would they make a request such as that? Because as Robert Murray McShayan writes, and I love his writings, he was a famous missionary in the late 1800s. He writes and he says the disciples had been with Christ and seen him pray. They had learned to understand. He actually wrote the word learnt from the 1800s. They had learned to understand something of the connection between the Lord's wondrous life in public and his secret life in prayer. Wow. They watched and observed, and they had learned something about in the connection. There was a direct correlation and connection between the Lord's public life ministry, but also his private life in prayer. They had learned to believe in him as a master in the art of prayer. None could pray like Jesus. And so they came to him with this request, Lord, teach us to pray. And then after years, they would have told us that there were few things more wonderful or blessed that he taught them than his lessons on prayer. Jesus was a prayer warrior. Jesus was one who, if you read the writings of the Gospels, you will see time and time again, example after example after example, where Jesus would just pray to the Father. He would often get in secret. Sometimes he would do it in front of people. He would pray. But there's one instance as far as how the Lord and the Lazarus and the raising of Lazarus, of course, he's going to raise Lazarus for those that don't believe in him as a demonstration of his power, substantiating once again that he indeed was the Messiah they had longed for. But let's dig into this one little verse, one little phrase from this verse, and let's just kind of take it one little statement at a time. We see, first of all, the Bible tells us, we're going to go from the end and back up. They request to pray. Lord, teach us to pray. Think with me just for a moment of that. Think with me just for the simple request that they make here. When the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, we see in this text, they're asking God to teach them to pray. Let me ask you this question. Do you pray? You say, preacher, sure I do. I pray at my, you know, if you're like me, you pray over your meals and at home and often in restaurants. And, you know, and I encourage you to do that. I encourage you to do, especially when you're in restaurants. There's been many occasions, several occasions, as I look back over my life for a moment here, there have been several occasions that God has opened the door just by simply folks seeing us pray as a family in a public restaurant. It's not uncommon for people to say, hey, are you a Christian? And you're able to say, yes, but Jesus changed my life. And you're able to talk to them just for a few minutes in a brief moment. You know, I don't do this as much as I should, but there's often times, and I was taught this by Dr. Johnny Hunt, who does this, and I think it's remarkable. It's phenomenal what he does. When he's at a restaurant, I encourage you to start doing this. When he's at a restaurant, again, tying it with the Each One, Reach One this year. When Dr. Johnny Hunt's at a restaurant, it's not uncommon for him, for a waiter or waitress to walk over, and Dr. Johnny looks at him and says, hey, you know, we're getting our food here in a moment, and we're going to pray over our food. And he'll ask the waiter or waitress, is there anything I can pray for you for? Is there anything on your heart that I honestly can take before my Lord on your behalf? It's not uncommon for waitresses to start crying. It's not uncommon for them to say, well, you know, I'm having this struggle or I'm having that struggle. My wife have done that many times with you know, the waiter and waitress staff, and you'd be surprised. Sometimes they'll just look at you like, you're weird, you know, they sometimes do. But then there's often times that they'll just say, well, no, I don't really have anything right now. And then sometimes, as Dr. Johnny says, sometimes they'll then, after they think about it for a moment, they'll come back and they'll say, well, as a matter of fact, please pray for this. Why is that? Why is prayer such a powerful tool? Why is it such a powerful thing? Because, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you understand this. When we pray as God's people, we are talking to God. Amen? We are talking to Jehovah God. Through the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, the blood being applied to our life, we have access, because of Jesus, we have access to the throne of God. You know, the Bible calls it a throne of grace, right? We're able to obtain grace and time to help. I don't know about you, but there's been many times in my life that I needed God's grace in it. There's been many times in my life where I needed God to really move and ask the Lord for, you know, for His will and for His wisdom and for God to really move in a certain situation. There's been times in my life that I just got before the Lord. My wife would vouch for this. We've done it often as a couple where we will bow and we'll say, Lord, here's the situation. Here's what's going on. And God, and not being disrespectful, but there's times I'll say, Lord, unless You move, we're going to look pretty bad here. You know what I mean? God, unless You move, unless You intervene. You say, preacher, you trying to put God, twist God's arm? No, God is my witness. I'm not trying to do that. But I want you to understand that as His child, we have the privilege to approach His throne. But we also, as His child, have the wonderful blessing to know that He will answer. Can I get a witness in this room? He will answer. You say, wait, preacher, hold it. I disagree. Okay. Let's examine that for a minute. I said He will answer. I didn't say how He will answer. You see, because oftentimes when we come to God and we come to God in prayer, you know, there are some times that God will answer and yes will be His answer. Boy, we like that, don't we? Hey, amen. I like when God answers and the answer to His prayer. To my prayers, yes. There are oftentimes that God says no. Yeah. I know it was an old country song years and years ago by Garth Brooks. And it would say, you know who Garth Brooks is? Yeah, he's a washed up country singer now. But anyway, he wrote a song. He sang a song. I think he wrote it. And he sang it. It said, sometimes I thank God for unanswered prayer. The answer being no. I thank God for that. I mean, think with me for a moment. If God answered every single prayer request that we prayed with an answer of yes, wow. Wow. Man, I don't know where I'd be today if He answered every... You know, I'm just going to say something too. You know, if God answered every prayer that we prayed that the Lord would intervene in somebody's sickness and keep them from dying, none of us would die. We'd never get to heaven, right? That's why it's so important, as I'm going to teach you in the next couple of Sundays. One of the ways that we pray, and one of the things that is so important, and yet sometimes hard to do as a human being, is to pray, God, let Your will be done. That's important. God, let Your will be done. I say, Pastor, why is that so important that we do that? Because, ladies and gentlemen, God's will is always best for our lives. It's always best. And yes, there have been times where situations have happened and we're praying and we're begging God to work in a situation, whether it be a little child who's on the verge of death and they pass away. And we look at that and we don't understand it. But there's often times in those situations, and we've had those situations in our church. One was a six-month-old baby who died after falling in a tub and drowning. That was horrible. That was an horrific event. And there are times we pray, God, you know, if it be Your will, please intervene. And sometimes God allows death to happen. But there's often times when those things like that occur that we then say, Lord Jesus, will You please use this death as a way of reaching people with the gospel of Christ? God can do that. You know, God is an amazing God because God can even, oh, this is good. God is an amazing God because God can even use death to give him glory. He can. That's why in the Old Testament, the Bible says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. And we know biblically a saint is simply someone who has repented of their sin, believed the gospel to the saving of their soul. They're a born-again believer. That's what biblically a saint means. So the Bible tells us. So in this context, we see they're asking God to simply teach them to pray. This is what we need to be taught through it's, you know, though in its beginnings, prayer is so simple that the feeblest child can pray, yet it is at the same time the highest and holiest work to which a man can rise. Robert Murray McShine says. He goes on to say, it is fellowship with the unseen and most holy one. Do you ever think of that? Prayer, and it really is a sense of fellowship with God. Boy, what a blessing. Have you ever had times in your life that you just talk to God? You just pray. And I'll be honest, and I joke about this, but I'm serious about this. If you drive on these crazy freeways, that's a wonderful time to pray. But let me give you some instruction. Don't bow your eyes. Don't close your eyes. Because there's a lot of people, I think, that do, and it causes all kinds of chaos and craziness. But prayer, talking to God and asking God. You know, one of the things that I really pray to God that God allows us to become this year is that God will allow us to become intercessory prayers. That we intercede. What I mean by that is that we intercede on behalf of another. If someone, and here's another practice that Pastor Morton taught me. He said, you know, and I watched Brother Morton do this. And he would do this all the time. Someone would walk up and they'd say, hey, Pastor Morton, will you please pray for me? And buddy, he'd stop right then and there and he'd pray for him. And his reasoning was, he said, you know, he said, when I tell somebody I'm going to pray for them, he said, I can often be forgetful and forget to pray for someone. He said, so I started just right then and there, just stopping where we're at and just praying that God will, whatever the situation may be, that God will have his will in it. And I tried to make that a practice. Just stop and pray. You say, preacher, really? Yeah. It's not uncommon to do it out in the vestibule. People coming in. Hey, preacher, you got a minute? I got this situation going on. And I said, well, let me pray for you right there. Right now, let me pray for you real fast. It doesn't take a lot of time to do an intercessory prayer for someone. You know, by being an intercessory prayer, as I call it, that often keeps us from being self-centered. It keeps us from being selfish. It keeps us from constantly worrying about our own needs and our own wants and our own desires. It gets us thinking about others. It gets us thinking about those that do not maybe have, you know, answers to their situation. But yet we see they're simply asking God, Lord, teach us to pray. I think that was birthed out of they understood that there was something miraculous about Jesus and his prayers. There was something absolutely miraculous, as I said to you, that there was a connection. There was a connection to the effectiveness. Oh, this is a good statement. There was a connection to the effectiveness of Jesus' public ministry was tied directly to his private ministry of prayer. Ladies and gentlemen, that is so true. You want to be a better preacher? You want to be a better teacher? You want to be a better, as far as leader, whatever ministry you may spearhead? Be a person of prayer. Be a person that knows how to get a hold of God. I've said this since I've been a pastor for 22 years or so. I've made this statement, especially to young people in this room, to the young ladies in this room who will eventually marry. I've said to you, one of the things to look at and look for in a husband, if you know Christ your Savior, one of the things to absolutely look for in a husband is you need to find a man, let God bring a man into your life through prayer that knows how to get a hold of God when tragedy hits your family. That knows how to get a hold of God when sickness hits your children. That knows how to get a hold of God when marital trouble happens. And oh, by the way, I don't know if you know this. Now, this hasn't happened to Les and I, but they tell me that sometimes there can be little arguments in a marriage. We don't argue. We have intense moments of fellowship every now and then, but we don't fight or argue. No, I mean, young people, marriage isn't easy. None of the men said amen. Bunch of sissies. Marriage isn't easy, but it's worth it. I promise you it is. It's worth it because God often through marriage gives a marriage that hopefully is pleasing to Jesus, a marriage that is focused on doing God's will in the marriage. A marriage like that, God often uses to be such a testimony to those that are around. You see, God is an amazing God, and when we think about prayer, we indeed understand that his disciples were simply saying, God, teach us to pray. Now, when we think about that as well, and we'll dig more into this as we go back through this. Look at the next statement, the word us. Teach, secondly, for your outline. First one is pray to pray. Secondly, us. Teach us. God's people. You see, if we're not careful, and I know this goes more with the next statement I'm going to make. If we're not careful, we can become experts in our own mind of prayer. But you see, in order for us to really pray as the way Jesus would have us to pray, we have to acknowledge, and I'm not insulting your intelligence, we have to acknowledge our ignorance of prayer. You say, preacher, you call me ignorant. Think of me for a moment what that means. It just simply, we lack knowledge in that area. You see, because as we've stated on many occasions, we want to pray as Jesus would have us pray. We want to pray in direct obedience to God's will for our life. And ladies and gentlemen, the only way to do that is to acknowledge that we don't have all the answers, but Jesus does. And he can teach us to pray. As we look at his life and we see the prayers that Jesus prayed, he no doubt leaves them for us as an example. God, teach us, your people. You see, the Lord absolutely, if you're born again, you have a special privilege this morning. For those that do not know Christ, ladies and gentlemen, he'll hear the prayer of a lost man who repents and believes the gospel. The Lord will hear a prayer of repentance. But as a believer in Jesus, we have special privilege. Because when we talk to God, we're talking to a wonderful Heavenly Father who cares for us. And let me also say this, he's not a deadbeat dad. He doesn't walk out on us. Jesus said in John 14, he said, I will not leave you comfortless. Literally, he's saying, I will not leave you as orphans. Now, think with me for a moment. Why did Jesus say that? Because Jesus has just told them that I got to slow down because I got to go heel, toe, heel, toe, heel, toe. And I told my wife, if you see me walking and I'm not doing that, you let me know. And she's been yelling at me. I didn't want her to yell at me. She's like, you're not walking right. You know, she's like, don't ever impersonate me from the pulpit because you do a terrible job. Jim. Yep. You didn't amen when I said marriage is hard. You never amen that. And I'm just terrible. But I got to slow down. Do it right. But Jesus, teach us as your children. God, teach us to pray. We don't have all the answers. Have you ever had times, and I remember talking to Pastor Fain about this not too long ago. I'm just going to be transparent with you today. I'm going to be a little vulnerable today, and I hope you'll allow me to be so. I said to Brother Jeff, have you ever had times in your life that the last thing in the world you wanted to do was pray? Maybe you have gotten, you know, beat up with circumstance. Maybe you've gotten just kind of burnt out. Maybe you've gotten, you know, kind of at a point in your life, well, just life, you know, and the things of life. Life happens, they say. And maybe you just get so overwhelmed that it's like, why pray? I've had times like that. As a pastor, I can't believe you're telling us that. Well, here's what I've learned as a pastor. And I don't know everything, but what I learned as a pastor is this. If I'm struggling with an area, chances are perhaps some of our people are struggling in that area. And I'm not trying to push my situation on you, but I've just kind of observed that over the years. And it's not uncommon to preach. When I preached on depression a few years back, I was amazed at the response, and people that never ever say anything. They came up to me and said, "Pastor, you have no idea. I'm battling with this depression. I've been dealing with it for a long, long time." So I learned, and my prayer is that I'll be transparent enough for you to understand that I am not a sinless person, that I have not arrived spiritually, that I'm still a work in progress when it comes to my Lord. And I want to learn, and I want to be taught of Him, and I want God, I want to have His heart, I want to have His will in my life, and I sincerely, from the bottom of my heart, I want to make a difference for His kingdom. I want to be an individual that each one reaches one, and I want to reach at least one this year. Met a lady at the car dealer the other day. I took my truck in to get my oil change, and as I'm waiting in the room there, in the waiting room, struck up a conversation with the lady, and we talked for quite a while, and shared with her that I was a pastor and all this kind of because of the conversation, as far as how it led, it was, you know, just kind of a normal segue, if you will. And she said, "Where's your church at, preacher?" I said, "Well, we're right down here on 11 between Hoover and Van Dyke." And this is what she says. She says, "Preacher, I'm going to come visit your church." I thought, each one reach one. Would to God that the Lord will allow us to reach her for Jesus. You see, because here's what I absolutely know. That when Jesus saves somebody, He changes their life. There is no sin that God, His grace and His mercy and His blood being applied, there is no sin that Jesus won't forgive. If you will acknowledge it and you will repent, the Lord Jesus Christ will change your life. You see, just as we admit our ignorance when it comes to knowing how to pray, perhaps, you also, if you're lost, you have to acknowledge that you're a sinner before God. God already knows it about you. The important thing is for you to understand that yourself and understand that you acknowledging that you're a sinner before God is not you saying, "Well, I'm not really, you know, I'm not a good person." No, and that's not my point. As far as your family, as far as your friends, maybe you are a good person. But the point is, your goodness, there's not enough goodness in any of us to get to heaven on our own. We have to repent of being a sinner. And by repenting, placing our faith in Jesus, He saves us. He borns us again into His family and kingdom. So teach us. But now notice something else. We see the word teach. Lord, teach us. Teach us, Lord. Now think with me for a moment what that means. You see, when you get saved, you, if you will, are now enrolled as a believer in Jesus. You are now enrolled in God's school of learning the Bible. You're enrolled in the school of Christianity, if you will. And as a student, as a follower of Jesus, it is God's will. And I say this of myself, I'll say this for everyone that is born again. It is God's will. Now listen, friend, anytime a preacher makes a statement like that, you better listen up because you want to make sure that what he is saying lines up with the Word of God. So here's my statement of absolute truth. I believe this. It is God's will for you and I to grow in our knowledge of Jesus. It is God's will for you and I to be a student of learning of Jesus, learning of Christ. And it is absolutely, here's where I was going with this. It is God's will for you and I to be Christ-like. It's God's will for us to be that. That's why oftentimes people say, "Preacher, man, I had somebody do this, and I'll tell you what I'm going to do to them." And I often respond, "That's what the world does. That's the way the world responds. We're to be different." You say, "Yeah, but Pastor, you don't understand what they've done to me, and I've got to defend." Listen, let Jesus defend you. You say, "Preacher, I got passed over for my raise there." Well, let me ask you, friend, is Jesus the man that in human flesh, is he your boss, or is Jesus the one that ultimately you're working for? Say, "Preacher, he's my boss." Surely he is. And I understand, please understand me. I know there's supervisors, foremen, and there actually is, you know, people that are above you, but ultimately, your performance, our performance and our work should be based on our relationship to Jesus. That the Bible teaches us that literally everything that we do, let us do it with every fiber of our being, knowing that we're here to please Jesus Christ. I truly do believe that a Christian, somebody that's born again, they ought to work hard. They ought to work hard. They ought to be dedicated to what they do. They ought to be disciplined in what they do. They ought to be understanding that, you know, when they're not treated fairly, understand that, hey, just simply because you're a Christian often is the reason you're treated the way you are, that you identify with Jesus. And I tell you, friend, they're watching you. They want to see how you respond. They want to hear how you talk. They want to see what you do when maybe you're looked over as a promotion. Be careful how you respond. Lord, teach. Teach, literally. And I pray that you will pray this today sometime. Lord, individually, I pray you'll pray this. Lord, teach me to pray. You say, preacher, I know everything there is to know about prayer. No, you don't. Neither do I. Because there's an aspect of prayer that I really think we've got to press in and be diligent to learn. Teach us to pray. Jesus has opened a school in which he trains his redeemed ones who specially desire it, to have power in prayer. Shall we not enter, the writer says, with the petition, Lord, it is just that we need to be taught. We have to be taught. The way I learned the drywall trade was by example. My stepdad, to this day, is the best drywall I've ever met, I've ever known. Best hanger. He could hang boards so tight. I mean, it was just, it's crazy how good he was. He hand finished the houses. He didn't use box tools at that time. And, you know, those kind of tools. He used everything by hand. And I'm telling you, you couldn't see a seam once it was primed. That's how good he was. And I tell you, I promise you, I tried my best to emulate what he did. I tried my best when it comes to hanging. I tried to be the best that I could because he was the best that I knew. When it came to finishing, there's been times that I would call my stepdad, living in Kentucky now, I'd call him and said, hey, I'm doing this. And he said, well, go get some straight flex. Straight flex is a certain type of tape that makes a perfect seam, makes a perfect bend. You can bend it like that. And he told me how to put it on. And I remember doing ceilings, and they had all kinds of angles, and they had all types of designs. Some were an octagon. We did a ceiling one time. It was an octagon. It was 17 feet in the air. Two of us. One of us shoving a big 12-footer, 14-footer up, and then climbing up and doing all that. But when it came to finishing those really intricate type of designs, we did several times. We've done houses, and I'm not in the drywall trade anymore. I'm pastoring full time, but there were several times we've done houses that had a little, we called it a breakfast nook, and it was kind of a half octagon kind of thing. And every piece of drywall that you hung on the ceiling, literally just about every piece, you had to use a chalk line to get it perfect. I hated houses like that, but it paid good. That's why you do it, you know. But man, I learned from the best, and I'm not saying I'm the best because I'm not. But it was amazing by being taught by him how, you know, God allowed me to provide a good living for my kid, my wife, and my family when I pastored my first church. And it wasn't uncommon for finishers to tell, you know, our contractor who we subbed from, our hanging, for finishers, when they found out we were doing a house, me and my workers, when they found out we were doing a house, that they would wait. They would slow down finishing the other house so that they could get ours. And I say that not braggingly. I say that because really what I was able to do was in direct correlation to the man who taught me, Bill. He taught me. When I hold a hammer the way my stepdad taught me. I run a screw gun the way my stepdad taught me. I tape and finish the way my stepdad taught me. I hang the way my stepdad taught me. And it's not uncommon. It was not uncommon when I'd be doing jobs and I'd come to a situation and I would process it and I would say this, and I pray you track with me on this statement. If you listen, say, yep, preacher, I'm listening. I'm going to give you a few more minutes, preacher, say that. I'm going to take it anyway. All right, here we go. It was not uncommon to come to challenges in a situation. And I would often look at those challenges and I would think this round. I would think, what would my stepdad do here? He always had an answer for everything. He knew how to do it. And you know, when I think about that, and here's my application there. When I think about that, we acknowledge our need. We acknowledge our ignorance of not knowing everything there is to know about prayer. That Jesus, no matter how long we've been saved, Jesus can still teach us more when it comes to prayer. So just as often I would say, I wonder what my stepdad Brian would do here in this situation, this rounded, man, we did rounded stairwells. I don't know if you know this, but drywall's like straight. You know that, right? My stepdad taught me what you do. We had quarter inch, and what you would do is you would soak that piece of drywall, and you would bend it. You would take a couple boxes of mud, and you would bend it, and you would do that for several days. Put more water on it, bend it a little more, and that's how you do those rounded ceilings or rounded, you know, stairwells and stuff. Just as often, I'm done in this statement. Just as often as I would say, I wonder what Brian, my stepdad, would do here. My prayer is that God uses these series of messages on prayer, that we would so be so focused in that when we come to circumstances in life that absolutely seem insurmountable, that maybe we would just stop for a minute and process and ask ourselves this question. I wonder what Jesus would do here in this situation. Just as I would call my stepdad and ask him questions. It's good for us to call our Heavenly Father, if you will, and ask Him for His wisdom and ask Him for His will. God, what would you do in this situation? Lord, please give me wisdom. You know, and the Bible teaches us to let the peace of God rule in your heart. Last of all, the word is we see Lord. Lord, teach us to pray. Lord. You see, when it comes to Jesus, He's either Lord of all, or He's not Lord at all. He's either Lord of all, or He's not Lord at all. You'll hear sometimes people, and preachers sometimes will say this statement. I don't agree with it, but they'll sometimes say this. Make Jesus the Lord of your life. Let me just speak in this for a minute. He's already Lord. You don't make Him Lord. He's already Lord. The question is He Lord of your life? Is He the one that you humbly bow before on a daily basis in prayer? Is He the one that you humbly bow in prayer and meditation, and you're asking God for His direction and for His will? I tell you, friend, and again, what you got to get a hold of is this. You know, my stepdad never hesitated. He never, ever hesitated. He wouldn't hesitate today if I called him and had a question. Why? Because I was his pupil, if you will. I was his student. And he taught a bunch of us how to do that. He wouldn't hesitate to answer. Ladies and gentlemen, I know I've used a lot of earthly illustrations to make spiritual application, but I promise you this, on the authority of God's word, the Lord God will not hesitate to hear your prayer as His child. We're allowed in Scripture to call Him Abba Father. Abba means daddy. When kids were little, they would be in the bedroom, and then maybe something would happen. It was not uncommon for them to yell, "Daddy!" And I would often go running in there. Why? Because they were calling for me. Sometimes it was nothing. Sometimes maybe they fell down. My wife would often, you know, when they'd holler for her, she would absolutely drop what she was doing. Are you tracking with me? Drop what we were doing. Because our child requested us. Ladies and gentlemen, and I end, God absolutely will press into your life, and He will. I truly mean this. We see it illustrated in Scripture, how the Lord with bended knee, the Bible talks about bended knee, He hears our prayers, His eyes are focused on us. He loves to talk. He loves to hear the prayers of His children. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Let's all stand. We'll have a hymn of invitation. Brother Ryan's going to come and lead us. And the invitation of the day is this, as it is every service. If you're here, first of all, and you don't have Christ as your Savior, even watching by internet, you do not have a relationship with God through Christ, you've never repented and believe the gospel to the saving of your soul. If that's your situation, I encourage you, sweet friend, just like I have done when I was 16 years old, and many have done in this room, acknowledge you're a sinner before God. By bowing your heart and head and acknowledge you're a sinner before God, ask God to forgive you of being a sinner. And by faith, believe that Jesus died for you, that he was buried for you, that he rose again the third day for you. Asking through repentance and faith in Jesus, he'll save you. He'll change your life. He's a God that cannot lie, and he absolutely will save you. Maybe you are here and say, "Preacher, I know the Lord is my Savior, but to be quite honest, I don't pray much. I don't really ever pray when I'm out to lunch." Let me encourage you to start praying. If you start simply by just praying over your food, because here's my question. Say, "Preacher, here's my question. Are you thankful for what God has given you?" Your prayer can simply be, "Lord Jesus, thank you for this food." Because I know you know this. You've seen commercials. There are other countries that don't have the abundance of food that we have in America. There's other countries. You've seen it. I've seen it. "Lord, thank you for the food. I'm grateful for it. Because God, ultimately, I know it comes from you." Maybe start there. Work your way up. Build your way up. And we're going to teach you that this next couple of weeks. Maybe today would be a fresh start. Maybe like just come to the altar and just pray. Whatever's on your heart. Maybe intercede for somebody that you're burdened about. As I did last night, just laying in bed. God pressed somebody on my heart. And I just, "Lord, please be with this individual. God, they need you. They need you to work in their life. And God, they need your wisdom. They need you to renew their mind. And God, please do that." There's been many a prayer prayed for me, and I'm grateful to God for it. I feel the prayers. Pray for one another. You come as we sing. What's the number, Brother Ryan?
414.
414. You come as we sing. 414.
And wait.
beautiful job singing that song. What a blessing to hear you sing that. Good choice, Brother Ryan. Any other quick word or announcement, Brother Ryan?
Nope, not that I have.
No, all sir. Right, no other announcements. Again, if I'm able to be here tonight, I hope I can. We'll see. It's kind of swollen. But if I'm able to be here tonight, I want to meet with all the parents of teenagers in the youth group, along with my wife, along with Miss Tracy Shear. And if I'm not able to be here, we'll do it next Sunday morning, Tracy, after the morning service, so we make sure we get this in. Many of you have questions after we met with the teenagers, and we want to kind of give you a rundown of what we talked about, what we discussed, and you can ask us any question. Again, there's that. Do we have the thing tomorrow, veterans? Is that tomorrow? The next week, the following week. Okay, I'm sorry. The following week of the veterans. And if you'd like to go to that, see Miss Tracy or my wife, and give you a rundown of kind of, if you're new to it and would like to go feed the homeless veterans down in Detroit, you can stop at the Welcome Center or see Miss Tracy or my wife, and they give you some instruction on that. All right, as we're dismissed in prayer, I'll dismiss us. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for who you are. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you're a God that cares about every detail of our life. We thank you, Father, that we see in your word that your disciples requested of you that you would teach them to pray. And God, I pray as your follower, that Father, you'll teach us to pray. And for those of us that are born again, that God, you'll teach us, that you'll lead us and you'll guide us and you'll direct us. And Father, I ask that through this, that you would use us to be more effective in the work of your kingdom. Use us, God, to reach people, moms, dads, boys, girls, grandparents, in-laws, nieces, just the whole dynamic of family relationships. God, that you'll use us as a church to reach folks. We love you, Lord Jesus, and we pray that you'll dismiss us with your blessing today. For those that are visiting today for the first time, again, Father, we are humbled that you would lead folks here. And God, we pray that you'll bless, that you will encourage hearts today as only you can. For it's in Jesus' name I pray, and amen. You're dismissed.